Question is, what advice would you give to future abbots and teachers of Wat Bapong's branch monasteries so that the communities maintain the most important characteristics of Ajahn Chah's style of leadership? I think probably the main thing that I would encourage people is because sometimes you try to pigeonhole it and get it into a catechism. If I just do this and this and this, everything's going to be all right. And I think what I would encourage is the advice is to be as. And I think this would be what Ajahn Chah would encourage, just being, keeping a real fidelity to Dhamma Vinaya, the teachings and the training that are laid out in our lineage, in our traditions, in the scriptures, in the suttas, in the Vinaya. And making sure that you've got a source to keep referring back to, rather than making it up as you go along and trying to adapt to whatever's popular in whatever particular culture or era that one is in. That being said, Ajahn Chah was. He was certainly a great example of somebody who took Dhamma Vinaya is here. This is your teacher. This is what the Buddha gave us from the Mahaparinibbana Sutta, where Ananda is bemoaning the fact that the Buddha is going to pass away. He's going to Parinibbana. And not be a leader. And then the Buddha just said, oh, I wasn't really the leader while you're here. It's this Dhamma and this Vinaya that is your leader, is your guide. So that they trying to return to those principles but Ajahn Chah would never do it in a pedantic kind of way. He was conservative, he wasn't fundamentalist. He wanted to maintain a fidelity to the tradition and the lineage, he was always willing to adapt and change, and sort of like when Ajahn Chah was one of the first forest monasteries to adapt the chanting, changing the Pali chanting to a translated chanting into Thai. That's new. That it'll be useful. This is people can understand what's being. So whereas in the tradition, and sort of like you don't want to sully the purity of you want to keep the Pali, and which I mean has a certain validity to it. I can remember. Going to His Holiness the Dalai Lama's teachings one time in San Francisco, and we'd recently done and normally before teaching session begins, and His Holiness would invite each of the traditions to do a traditional chant, and he would always ask the Theravadins to chant first because we were the oldest, and chant the Mangala Sutta, and then ask the Mahayanas to chant the Heart Sutra. Then, of course, the Tibetans have their own particular blessing chant for beginning teachings. And so that's how you begin a teaching session. And and so then chanting the Mangalas had done that before. And then we had just recently done a translation. Actually, the translation that we chant now is still in an earlier form, hadn't been spiffed up. I thought, well, that'd be a good idea. But see, so I floated the idea past the organizers to check with His Holiness and see, because you don't just go up to the Dalai Lama and ask him. And said, would it be okay to chant the translated version into English so people can understand? And he said, and the word got back to you, he said, no, you really want to keep the original. You don't want to forget the original language. You want to keep that Pali. So in the the translated chanting, the Pali and Thai are alternating all the time in Thailand. And so Ajahn Chah was one of the first monasteries to start doing that. He was one of the first forest monasteries to ban smoking and chewing betel nut in the monastery for the monks, which was a big deal then. There was quite a few monks left because it was just that's too extreme. Nowadays you look back on this, how could they think like that? But in those days it was just really ordinary. And Ajahn Sumedho said that it was like the lunar observance nights. There'd be a meditation and chanting, and then there'd be like pots of coffee, and then trays with cigarettes and betel nut. And the sow lad at Wattapong would just be filled with smoke. And Ajahn Chah, so he's willing to change and adapt, but he could sort of see this is something that is that really fits with Dhamma Vinaya, even though the custom in Thailand and certainly in many of the forest monasteries in the Dhammyu tradition, and that you wouldn't dare make the suggestion that they should be curtailing their smoking and chewing betel nut. So Ajahn Chah. So in terms of Ajahn Chah's the characteristics and his style, I think being that fidelity to Dhamma Vinaya, but then also to really paying attention. What's practical? What's useful? What's beneficial? And I think also in terms of style of leadership, Ajahn Chah. One of the things he was, I think, quite unique in doing and in being a leader. Is that he would always consult with the senior monks, consult with the lay people. There wouldn't be I have seen an edict coming down, in general he would. It was a collaborative in the way that he included people in the decisions that he made. And for the most part, most people say, Lao Tay Lumpo. He says, whatever you want, Lumpo, sort of thing, whatever you think is best. But he did, so that collaboration is I think, a style that he... he was very good at. And I think, you know, just in terms of the village, because both he, Lopo Cha, as well as the vast majority of the monks there, were all from, you know, northeast of Thailand. So there's a, there is a kind of tradition. I mean, there's a your leader, but then your leader has to be supported by the others. So there's always a process of sort of talking about decisions that are going to be made.